Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much. But when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Hello and welcome to The Review Show, the show where me, Tom and Ross get to talk about how boss Liverpool are, because that's what it's been recently, and loads of goals. That's what Liverpool do, they score loads of goals, so we get to talk about that as well. As mentioned, I'm joined by Tom and Ross for this. Thanks to everyone who's watching right now, commenting in the comments box. We will be in there shortly, but we've got to start with the one man that is just absolutely on fire at the moment, Tom, and it's that guy, Mo Salah, isn't he?
He's just unbelievable. Like, we used to rely on Coutinho to just score worldies from outside the box. Now we have two people, maybe even three, maybe even four. You know what I mean? It's amazing. That goal that he scores, the first one, is just to just get out your feet and bend it like that. It was such a good goal.
Yeah. And Ross, it's his all-round game though, isn't it? I mean, obviously he's getting the goals. He's broken the record, I think. I've lost count of how many times people have told me that he's broken Robbie Fowler's record of 8 in 12. He's got 9 in 12, so just to add to that, amazing.
Yeah. For someone who can't finish as well, they're both decent goals, supposedly can't finish. But I think I said he's all-round game. With people are seeing him as a real threat, which sometimes is a bit of a decoy, because once people are after him, he puts two people on him.
Yeah.
But then he's got, like you said, Mark Mane or Coutinho or Firmino or... Just gives us an extra option, even with them people. There's always a threat.
One of the things I wanted to talk about is Firmino. Again, he's getting plaudits for his performance. Yeah. He's not scoring the goals that you want from a centre forward. But when you've got a winger who's on for scoring 79 goals this season, exactly. Do you really need it?
He's creating the chances for other people, and he's creating chances for himself. To be fair, I think he had two where they just went wide, literally just wide, and. He's the perfect striker for what we play.
Yeah,
he doesn't score that many goals. He doesn't score enough goals, fair enough. But for the link-up, for the work rate, just the way he puts himself around the pitch, every ball that goes to him, he challenges for, no matter what. Even if he's got like a 20% chance of getting it, he will go for it. And his intervention leads to the first goal.
Yeah, absolutely. He wins the ball back. I think it goes to, is it Clavin and then Wijnaldum and then onto Mo Salah and stuff.
Yeah.
What is it you particularly like about Firmino's performance?
It's just, Tom said his ethic and his work rate that he puts in. You know, I don't think you'll see Harry Kane or the likes of Lukaku doing what he does. You know what I mean? I think there's times where he hasn't got the stats to match everyone else, but often he's the assist to the assist, yeah. Which... kind of makes him worth his while putting him in that team. He's a spearhead of the press, and everyone follows suit after him. And like you said, the amount of times he goes for a challenge, which he has either no right to go and get, or you think more people would leave it.
Yeah.
And he wins it. He did it four or five times, I can remember, just at the weekend.
Yeah.
And it just knocks it onto someone else, a Mane or a Salah to bomb forward.
It's amazing. And the link-up play, I mean, you know, for me, one of my favourite players for Liverpool is obviously Sadio Mane and stuff, and he's taking a back seat at the moment to Mo Salah, because that front three, and it's very much, I consider Mo Salah the second striker at this point, because he might start out wide, but he always ends up central in front of the goal. That's where the second one comes from, and you're looking at it, you're thinking, there's such clever runs, and like, I was reading a Paul Tompkins article. If you're not onto Paul Tompkins, it's a subscription website for articles. I think it's the best football written content around.
Yeah,
like, and Paul Tompkins did an article after us, obviously. And, you know, I think it's amazing. But he did an article about how Rushy used to pull out wide to then run inside, whereas Mo Salah doesn't even do that. You know that he's going to be darting in behind. The second goal's, you know, exactly what Mo Salah's about, isn't it? You know, Coutinho outside of the boot, little through ball, and Mo Salah's there. the wrong side of the goal from where he started to slot it again.
It's weird. That's what Sturridge used to do. Sturridge, and that's what a bit of pace can do. That run that he makes is so intelligent, and the ball's perfect, don't get me wrong, but the run, he bends it through right behind the two centre-backs, and then he seems like he's got acres of space in front of the goalkeeper.
He's just so good. You said before, though, that leading up to that, Firmino pulls Van Dijk out almost, doesn't he? But Salah must go, space.
Yeah.
I'm having that.
Exactly.
Well, that's it. Max Robertson says, yeah, Firmino's creating chances. He's the perfect striker for Klopp's tactics. It's kind of what we've been saying, isn't it? And, you know, a lot has been said about Virgil van Dijk's involvement in the second goal. Now, I know mine and Tom's views slightly differ, but although I agree with Tom at the same time, you're very much Van Dijk's at fault for that goal.
He shouldn't be out there, in my opinion. I get why he's out there, but he shouldn't. He creates a space there that Mo Salah just goes, bang, I'll eat that up all day, is my opinion.
Yeah. So, Firmino, I think, you know, Van Dijk's looking for a foul off Firmino, isn't he? Because he's coming back to the ball, Roberto Firmino. And I like what you said a minute ago. Most players don't even bother going for that, but he goes for it. He causes Van Dijk issues. Van Dijk's then moaning about the challenge that he thinks is a foul.
Yeah.
And then Firmino just drops in as Coutinho picks up the ball, and Van Dijk's got a question asked of him. Does he follow Roberto Firmino, or does he drop back in to solidify that back four? Now, he follows Roberto Firmino. He actually gets caught a bit in no man's land because he's trying to sort of do a bit of both, which is the worst thing you can possibly do, isn't it? And then Mo Salah sees that space, exactly right, runs into it. Now, all over Twitter and stuff, everyone's going, Van Dijk, that was terrible and all this. All we've been saying all season is, Roberto Firmino drops into the 10 and you ask a question of the centre-back. Does he go with him or does he not? Yeah. If he goes with him, you've got space for your striker. Can we give a little bit of credit to Roberto Firmino on that one? Because Van Dijk was in the wrong, but that's exactly what your centre-forward should be doing in Klopp's system. It's absolutely brilliant. I'll tell you what, someone else I wanted to talk about. Oh, hang on. Sarah Smith says Van Dijk is overrated. Wow, this is something that's come out of this weekend as well, isn't it?
Good, get his price down. Sorted.
He's been doing it all season. He hasn't been great so far this season, but I don't think his head's not there, or his attitude's not there.
He was fuming at the end, wasn't he? He was absolutely raging, and that might have been the crunch that Hendo put in on him, but he wasn't happy.
Lovren took him out.
He did. Won my place!
Well, I think he's just thinking, I could have been on the other side here. I could have been winning 3-0 if it weren't for one person's, maybe two people's fuck-up, and he's not at the club. So he's probably gutted.
And on that, Southampton overall were terrible. I thought we were talking about before. They were just shocking. And that wasn't us just embarrassing them, because we were good. But some of the passing was just, like we said this morning, was just all over the place.
Yeah, the ball just rolled out of play 4 or 5 times. I know Emery Chan did it as well, but at that point you don't care.
Standard Emery Chan.
Exactly. Well, the one thing I wanted to bring up, the first and the third goal were from corners that broke down. And then we just kept the pressure on, I should say. The first one, Firmino wins it back, and we're on the edge of the box doing things. And the second one, it goes back out. Hendo gets the ball, plays a nice ball out of the wing. Then that ball that Mane plays is just, how does he get it through two players? But he does, and then we score off it.
The third goal, you mean?
Yeah, the third goal. It's just, we're not giving up on plays. We're not, it's just really good tenacity from
the other team. That Mane ball's mad because there's no player there when he plays the ball.
Exactly.
And there's so much trust in the players. You can see how much work's being done behind the scenes for these guys to just know. Because we've all done it. You play a pass in 5-a-side or something and the man doesn't make the run that you're expecting and you look like a tit and you have to apologise to everyone. And you know internally that it's the guy's fault he should have been making that run. And Firmino's obviously, I think it was Firmino's there, isn't he? He plays the shot and stuff and Fraser Forster gets it away. Coutinho, the rest, they say, is history.
That's another positive with Salah. Someone could misplace a pass and it's made it look decent because you know you can just hit it anywhere and he's getting it.
That's what you don't have in our 5-a-side, isn't it? Yeah. You know, you misplace a pass and we're like gassed. Come on. It's amazing. One other guy that I think's had a load of credit from the weekend that I think we should definitely talk about is Trent Alexander-Arnold. Now, Ross, what were your thoughts on him on the day? Let us know yours in the comments section. We'll start reading some of them out as well.
I thought it was brilliant for someone to have so much confidence at that age. Within the first 5 minutes, he turned someone inside out and then nutmegged them. Yeah. That was 5 minutes into the game. And I think he kind of set the tone for the fans because that got everyone up. It was a bit quiet the first couple of minutes.
Yeah.
He did make the odd mistake where he lost possession, but every time he recovered and won the ball back, he just kept things simple. He went forward not every time, but just certain times he went forward and took that gamble. But he was quite reserved, and I mean, if there was space behind him, he's got the pace to get in a block or a tackle, and then he's just his confidence to. He's not rushing to kick the ball away.
Yeah.
He's composed and he'll find a pass every time.
I look at the pass maps from 11, taking 11 on Twitter and stuff, and now Trent is very much a lot deeper than Alberto Moreno. It's almost that third centre-back, as it were, on the pass maps, which we've seen before and stuff. But what he is doing is he's not sitting as deep as Joe Gomez was, is he? I mean, he's picking his moments to get forward and moments when it's good for the team for him to go forwards as well, because we saw him play a ball into, I think it was Roberto Firmino. We saw him be the first man forward, maybe one of the first shots of the game he has off. He seems to understand when he can go and when he shouldn't.
Yeah, he does. I think he did get beat a few times. I'm not of the opinion that he had a fantastic game on the weekend. I really think that he got caught out quite a few times. And I know that's what wingers are meant to do. You're meant to beat your fullback. You're meant to take them on. And fullbacks are meant to get beaten by and large. And he recovered really well. But it's one of them where I think that's where you see just a bit of deficiencies in him. And that's not even a problem because he's a kid and he's going to get so much better. And the fact that we have players around him, we'll bail him out. We need to bail him out.
You see why Klopp's been playing Joe Gomez against the bigger teams in the league?
Exactly. I think they're both composed on the ball, but you see Gomez and they've both had a few tests this season and both of them have come out of it well, but I think Gomez is just, he's never let his head drop. He's never, the one against West Ham, where he might have been able to do a bit more with Lanzini and the head didn't drop. He's been fantastic since. I think they've both just got the personality just to go, no, I'm good enough for you.
We'll get into some of the comments then. Sarah Smith's, Trent and Moreno were both great. Michael Nicosia, Trent making a solid shout for right back, which should free up Joe Gomez for centre back, but too soon for Klopp, I think. A shame, but Gaffer knows best. Yeah. LFC Aaron says, Trent's very good, getting better with every game. Prescott, who made some solid challenges. Hugh Mungus, hello. Trent played flawlessly and was fantastic. Sarah Smith actually brings me on to another player. Thanks for the comments again. And it just says, oh, why is it all? It's definitely just thrown on there. Hendo was awesome. Don't get the hate. Is that something that you agree with, Tom?
That's something I've agreed with since he's been a Liverpool player, really. It's mad because everyone says he plays the sidewards pass and the backwards pass, and he does, but sometimes that's how we need to play. There was a moment as well where it's kind of the same thing where what's our goalkeeper called?
Mignolet.
So Mignolet has the ball and everyone in the ground screaming at him, give him the ball, let's go and attack. And it's like, no, we don't need to at this point. We want to go forward as a team, especially our front four. We all want to be in and around to create them runs. There's no point in Hendo just blasting it up the field. He can do that, but sometimes you've got to play it sideways, bring the team up with you, and that's how we score our goals. I don't understand why sideways and backwards passing in football is a bad thing. I don't get that.
You keep possession, you've got more chance of winning games,
exactly.
Surely.
For me, his role is obviously the defensive midfield. It's basically just to win possession back or win the ball back, then give it to someone who's creative. Or there are moments where I think on Saturday he could have played the long ball and he didn't, but he will do. He just needs to, like Trent, pick his moments of what is good for the team and what isn't good for the team. And if someone in the crowd says play a 30-yard ball and it's not on for him, then why should he?
Okay. Evan Don Levy says, not every pass can go forward. You need a guy who can control the game and stretch the opposition by switching it, which I absolutely agree with. Shubs, though, disagrees and says Henderson is so inconsistent. It is mad that, like, you know, we've got a Liverpool captain here who still very much splits the fan base, isn't it? Like, you know, even at the match, because sometimes when you go to the game, people have a different opinion of players, obviously, but quite often, I think most of the people who go to the game have a certain opinion. Maybe people who watch it on the telly have a different opinion. But even at the match, you get probably a 50-50 split of people who like Jordan Henderson and people who don't like Jordan Henderson. I find it really baffling because I see the backwards passes, I see the sideways passes, but I see everything else that he does for the team as well.
Exactly.
It's just like some people, I'm not saying I'm right or wrong on this, but it's all that's ever mentioned is his sideways and backwards passes, but nobody ever mentions those whipped balls in that we score from, or the time when he wins the ball back and we start an attack and score. It's like people are just looking at one part of his game, and that's not just him. That's not 100% Jordan Henderson.
The best part of his game is his tracking back. It's the fact that he always covers for... He always on his mind is, how do I help my teammate here? And that's the best thing you can have in a central midfield player, is someone going, all right, he needs help over there, he needs help over there, I'm never going to stop running. And I think that's why Klopp really likes him. That's why he's captain.
I think the only thing that will always hinder him is the fact that people still make comparisons, because he's captain, between him and Steven Gerrard, or even Xabi Alonso, who was previously in that role, who would spray passes left, right and centre all game. But
that's fair enough. I don't think he's got the quality of Xabi Alonso or Steven Gerrard, but I don't think he needs to for this team.
No, but I think that's why people have beef with him, because that's what they want him to be, and that's their perception of a DM, maybe.
That's fair enough. Yeah. That's a valid opinion.
It's mad, isn't it? It is crazy. Okay, well, one other person I think we need to talk about a little bit more in depth before we round it up. So I want your opinions, of course. Let us know them in the comments section. So we'll wrap this up after the Virgil van Dijk talk, but we've got the final word show. We've got John Machin coming in for it, and Ian Newbury as well. So it looks to be a really great show. We're going to be recording that in about 10 minutes' time. So if you're not already a member at theredmentv.com, do get over there. It's £5 a month. You get 3 45-minute to an hour shows. You get a podcast, a video podcast as well, and instant match reaction podcast. Loads of stuff happening on the website. Loads of stuff for your money there. So if you've not already given us a chance, do come over to the website. Loads of content on there. We've got the Lucas interviews, both parts of that. Nearly an hour and 15 minutes of chat with Lucas Leiva. That's all there. And a back catalogue of 300 plus hours of content, so do go and check it out. Virgil van Dijk, what did you make of his general performance, Ross?
I didn't really notice him, to be fair. I wasn't really looking out for him. I wasn't particularly bothered. I mean, I know it's like our job and stuff, but it gets too much, the Virgil van Dijk stuff, doesn't it? And it's just like, I just wanted to go and watch what we were doing rather than him.
I thought he was okay. Yeah. He didn't really put a foot wrong apart from that one.
Yeah.
And I think that's just us being really, really good, like you said before. And look, he's a good player. I'd still want to see him at Liverpool, because I think he's a piece that we could use. I don't think the team around him is very good, so you can't, if we put him in our side, I think you'll see him playing miles better. And that's just because of the quality.
Do you know, one of the things that I really liked about his performance, and I think it was in the build-up to our second goal, actually, anyway, or maybe it was our first goal, there was a corner that comes in and Virgil van Dijk heads it clear to a man on the edge of their box. I think it's the first goal, isn't it? Do you remember what I mean? I think it's in the build-up to the first goal, and he looks for where his man is, and it's from a corner, and he just heads it down to him, and I thought... Yeah. Oh, we could do with someone who can control a header and pass it to a man in the box from defending a corner. It's mad. Like, now, I think it was Tadic, and I think he's the guy who loses it to Firmino in the end. But that's Tadic messing around. And I just thought, there's a little moment that I've seen there that I can go, all right, so he's not just... I thought to myself, Lovren, Clav and Matip probably had just head that out for a corner. And he's had the thought process to go, I can head this and we can keep the ball and we can move on. Like, nothing happens, but it's something that I thought was really cool anyway. Yeah. So, as a fella says, VVD and Gomez at centre-back. Tanzen says Virgil van Dijk had a good game. Virgil van Dijk had his chance. Go for the... I don't know how to say that guy's name. De Ridge instead. Kevin Dawson. De Ridge, is that how you say it? Apologies. Virgil van Dijk won't be as good in our team because he will have less protection, said Hiram Ross. Roberts, but if he's better than what we've got, then that's sound, isn't it, I suppose?
But Lovren had a good game as well, actually, to be fair. I don't think he's not the answer still, and I don't think he's worthy of staying, but I think he's actually...
Just going and kicking Virgil van Dijk's boss.
Yeah.
That says to me there's someone who's fighting for his place, literally fighting for his place. He was trying to injure van Dijk so that we don't sign him. Like, that's boss. Because at least, I mean, don't injure van Dijk. We really do want him and stuff. But... equally, it shows that he's got the fight, and you know what? I don't know who was lined up to start with Matip in this game, but regardless, that will have helped Lovren because we're going to need him for the next.
His first game back since the Spurs game.
Exactly. So we're going to need him, and whether he was lined up to play or whether he's come in at last minute and Klopp picked him to play with Clavin doesn't really matter for me. He's had a good game there.
Therefore, there was a really nice moment as well in the game. Southampton fans were giving him stick, as they do. I really liked that song they have for him, which I can't say on this. But when they were all booing him, the section of the crowd closest by there were all cheering. And every time he got the ball, there were cheers. And at first I was like, what's going on? And then I realised they're just backing him up. And I think that'll do him a world of good as well, with all the stick he's been getting, to have people who are there next to him on the pitch giving him encouragement. His boss, he's a Liverpool player at the end of the day.
I think it was someone on Anfield Road, when he was saying Lovren is blah blah blah, and you go, Dejan Lovren, he's winning 3-0.
Yeah,
he's fucking shut them up.
It's amazing, it's fantastic.
That's all you need, isn't it? Well, there you go. And what else do you need? You need to go over and get your subscriptions to redmaintv.com. The final words coming up right now. Don't forget to drop a like on this video, because Liverpool won 3-0. That's just goals, isn't it? We score goals at the moment and we're not conceding many. It's great, it's a good time to be a Liverpool fan. Glad the Premier League's back. Big game tomorrow. The Uncensored Match Build Up Show will be out on YouTube later today, and I'll be doing the live stream. Starting 11 prediction, or otherwise known as the live Chris Predicts the Team Wrong show. So I'll catch you on there later on today, and enjoy your morning / afternoon and thinking about Liverpool.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight, and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.